The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States
heavyweight. Look here,
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, he's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? This guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
competitors. About hypnosis. Let's get told.
Psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
In 3, 2, 1. Hello, and welcome to The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Hey, what's going on, Don? Damn, I forgot what I was going to say. Shit.
Well, sorry to disarm you of your witty, witty introduction statement, but I'm glad that you could join me here once again on the Rawcast. We are brought to you by the CSPN. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio. All you have to do is search for the WrestleCast dash the CSPN. Look for the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign. Subscribe to that logo, and the Rawcast will be in your queue each and every week. So as we start every week here on the Rawcast, it's time for a little bit of the Mo Meltzer News Report.
Well, somebody's going to get what I was doing at the beginning of the show, so, you know, step all over my joke, darling. So, first things first. So, it's official. NXT is moving to Tuesdays.
Like I said on the push last week, random off day own night.
I highly doubt that. But anyway, we all gonna have different views about that. Like I, but
why they are directly messing with the schedule of this programming.
Yeah, you definitely we don't record Mondays, don't record Tuesday. We go over Tuesday, but we got the DVR NXT. That's fucking up my Tuesday night shows.
See,
I just realized that.
Yeah, see? They
cutting in on Young Rock. You know, they cutting in on my This Is Us, my Queen Sugar. All my shows I be watching on Tuesdays, they cutting in on. But we'll make it work. It's like a new multi-year deal that they have on they signed with USA Network. So that's the new thing. And so kind of knew it was coming. It was really going to happen because Impact had made the announcement that they were moving to Thursdays. So we knew that. I was like, oh, so I said this NXT news must be coming real soon because Impact announced they were moving to Thursdays. They definitely didn't want to be in direct competition with
musical chairs.
Mm-hmm. So you have a whole Monday through Friday slate of wrestling.
Well, there went my Tuesdays. You know, recording schedule was nice and compact here. Nice schedule that we had. So now I'm going to have to sit down and think, how are we going to rework the scheduling?
Just keep it. You only watch NXT on Wednesday. You was watching it on Thursday before you and Simi recorded.
Yeah, now I have to bump that up to Wednesday and then keep Dynamite at its regular time. And then, yeah, I guess that'll work.
So you're going to record NXT on Wednesdays and then And then Dynamite on Thursdays?
No, what I'll do is I'll go back in on Wednesday afternoon when I get off of work, watch NXT, because we'll be recording, or we'll be like the last hour I'll probably have to watch because we'll be recording. And then Wednesday, just watch AEW as normal.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. See how this podcast thing works, folks? It just changes. It's just right on the fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just...
So, Road Dogg, he was hospitalized. His wife said it was a possible heart attack, and that's what Road Dogg had said himself. So, you know, he's home recovering, so still our wishes out to him.
Yeah, for sure. Damn, Triple H got that man stressing out over there at NXT, trying to keep that show the best show that WWE produces on a weekend, right, week out basis, huh?
For real. So we had a lot of Hall of Fame inductions last week and this week. So we have Kane, the great Khali. Now, I understand what you and Miss Jade were saying on SmackDown Matters about Great Khali, but you have to think about it. Yes, that's because he's the ambassador for NXT India. But yeah, I think, you know, when they was using him as a dominant force, he had his little fun times and everything, you know. But then they started using him in the job of capacity or enhancement talent capacity, you know, it's like.
Yeah, I wasn't really around for the Great Khali era.
Right, I forgot.
Yeah. I don't have a reference for him being anything other than like broken down and, you know, past his prime. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was still watching, you know, when he was, because he had won a title. I think he won a title from, I think it was CM Punk. Well, no, it was CM Punk when he lost the title to Chavo or ECW, something like that. Well, I remember when Great Khali won, and they had the little dancers come out and everything. You know, it was, you know, pretty interesting.
It wasn't as good as the Jinder Mahal celebration when he won, though, was it?
No, it was kind of on the same wavelength, but it was still good, though.
Yeah,
that's how Jinder Mahal got over. You know, the storyline was he was married to Great Khali's sister, and so he had to, it was like he had him, you know, working, doing his dirty work and everything. So right.
The Jinder Mahal title run, very slept on.
Very, very slept on. That was very, very a great, nice little title run, but
yeah, the promos were excellent. Mm-hmm. Ahead of their time, actually, because, you know, Obama was still the president when that was happening. It would have been perfect for when Trump was the president,
right? So also announced this week, RVD. What I told y'all, I said last week, we said somebody who was associated with Heyman was getting inducted, and we made the jokes about rolling up and everything, and even Heyman alluded to it when he said he's not going to say. He said on Twitter, he was like, "I'm not going to say who." He said, "I'm not going to say who's." As I just finished recording the intro to someone's Hall of Fame induction, and he was doing the gesture with his thumb pointing to himself. So yeah, so we all need it. Because Sabu has spoiled it. Has spoiled it.
Sabu would spoil it.
Yeah. He spoiled on the interview. He said, "Oh, he was like RVD's being inducted." He said, "I probably wasn't supposed to say nothing." So,
oops, my bad, Mr. PPV RVD. Still, yeah, one of the most iconic High Times covers ever, with him, yes, Sabu, and Bill Alfonso on the front of a High Times. Yes, RVD, definitely worthy of a Hall of Fame induction. The man who got me into ECW and led me down that realm of violence and glory. in the late 90s was RVD. He was the main attraction. He was the guy who my buddy was like, yo, you need to get on this dude. It's like, who is this? It's like Rob Van Dam. It's like, he is amazing. It's like Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's like, no, Rob Van
Damme. Rob Van Damme.
I was like, okay, I'll give it a twirl.
When ECW had the little invasion thing on Raw with Vince, because low-key, Vince was funding them money to keep them afloat.
Right.
I remember that. Yeah. So, and then when they did that invasion, and then he was one of the stars that when he was like Jerry Lawler was like talking about that extremely crappy wrestling.
Yeah, they jumped the rail that one night. Yeah, yeah. Bruce was like, the Undertaker was about to go crazy on some folks because they didn't know. Yeah.
Right. He didn't know. He was like, wait.
Right.
It's just awesome.
Yeah, I remember like in 96, late 96, early 97, but definitely late 96, ECW getting matches on Raw. And I can remember watching it in that Raw presentation going, who watches this crap? They're beating each other up with cookie pans and trash cans, and it's like, that's not a wrestling, that's crap. And then like a year and a half later, I was like, oh, this is the best shit going. But I saw it in its, you know, rightful presentation, not on Monday Night Raw trying to fit in with what they had going on at the time. But yes, can't wait to hear the induction speech. And let's say him and Matt Riddle are going to get missing. And then when they come back, they're going to be smelling funny.
Also, in Celebrity Wing is going to be William Shatner.
Yeah. William Shatner just turned 90. Good Lord.
Hey, for real?
90? Yeah, he's 90.
Wow.
That's what I said. Mm. I was like, dang. But yeah, I mean, he was TJ Hooker when I was a kid in like the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And he had already been on Star Trek for like 10 years before that.
And they did the movies and everything. He's still doing the movies, the motion picture movies and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah, William Shatner. I think he just had a birthday like not too long ago.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you been in mourning? Have you been in mourning over Charlie taking a full-time gig with ESPN?
Oh, you know what? I did have a little moment there with this new backstage reporter, not Charlie. And I was like, she don't be asking them hard hitting questions like Charlie be doing. So yeah, I was missing that aspect of it. But you know, anytime I want to see her, I can just flip over to ESPN on the mornings. She'll be somewhere.
Yeah.
That's why she was showing up late. She was about to put in that 2 weeks and be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm finna go make this Mickey Mouse money. It's been real, Vince.
Right. So she's officially I'm going full time with ESPN. Over in the Impact side, Eric Young is going to be out for 6 months with a torn ACL.
Yeah, I saw that. Too bad for him, man. Hopefully he can recover well and suffer no ill effects from that. But yeah, he's a little up in the age bracket to be catching the ACL, right, man.
So over for you and Anwar and Terry's boy. So New Japan Pro Wrestling introduced that new IWGP.
Yes. International Wrestling Grand Prix is what that stands for.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I saw it.
I feel it.
It kind of looks like old WWF belt where it's kind of in the form of like a bird. And I'm going to have to say, I'm going to have to see him wear it before I totally am against it or for it. But first impressions, not as cool as the original title or the IC title. The IC title was dope. The white leather with the silver and the gold trim, that shit was dope. But this one is kind of like a melding of that. It does have the white leather. It's got some silver on it. But yeah, it wasn't like when they debuted the big gold belt, I'll tell you that.
Big gold belt.
And it was like 180 degree upgrade from the Dome Globe belt that, you know, guys have been carrying around for the last, 30 years or whatever.
All right. Next on the docket. So apparently, so with the whole Andrade being released and everything, so Charlotte having COVID, Andrade had it as well.
Of course.
Yeah. So the thing was they said she got taken off of the poster because she had they said that she came up as being pregnant. And there's the same doctor who gave them this news, the same doctor that told Andrade that he tested positive for the substance and which got him suspended the 30 days last year. So, but he was saying that he said they took they had got all the pregnancy tests and it was coming up negative, so they don't know what happened. But Charlotte responded and said that the report was true, but I guess it was a little bit over exaggeration on his part and everything. And also, he said some things about how he couldn't speak English. Vince was giving a tell all interview on Lucha Libre Online. He was saying that he said he couldn't speak the language, but he spoke the language better than Brock Lesnar and Asuka. that's what translated and stayed. But then he was right. So I was like, Brock Lesnar was born in South Dakota, and I was like, what? So
I guess he's saying that Brock never speaks for himself. So
right. I'm like, well, Brock, he didn't really have to cut no promos, but
I see what Charlotte Flair likes in him. He's got a good sense of humor. He's got
right. So he was saying, giving a tell all and everything. He was saying that what did he say? He said he's in talks with signing up for a new company, but nothing came to fruition yet. But yeah, man, he was letting the tea spill. Randy Orton and Soulja Boy were still going at it. I feel like that feud is better than what he got going on right now.
Oh my god.
He said Soulja Boy was like, our new WWE was fake. They wouldn't let me confront him on TV. I smacked the shit out of him on live TV. And then Randy Orton was like, I ain't even going to say, he was basically, if you listen to Noriega's first album, the Animal Thug skit, and the guy was saying a certain part of his anatomy was bigger than Animal Thug. He kind of said that's what Randy Orton was kind of saying to Soulja Boy. I'm not gonna repeat it because I was just like, no, I'm not gonna repeat that. But I was laughing. I was like, you stupid. But yeah. So that's
here's the deal. Don't be out here on the Twitters hyping up things that y'all can't produce. Because that's what happened with Mustafa Ali and Kofi Kingston. out here hyping shit up that they couldn't produce.
If they want to do something, they can do that for SummerSlam, you know.
They should have done it for Elimination Chamber. That's the whole story was, my misfortune became your perfect opportunity at Elimination Chamber. I feel like that should be it should have been my title reign, my title spot, my title opportunity. So the perfect time is to have the man, get taken out at Elimination Chamber, even though Kofi did come out and turn around and watch his back to see just in case, because Kofi know the history of WWE.
Right.
That's what I do like about New Day. They do not let anything like that get past them.
Nope. Nope, not at all. And it's like stuff that you wouldn't think that they knew about, but remember that, and they would bring it up in their promos and stuff. Like, y'all remember that? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the thing was talking about Xavier Woods and AJ Styles was giving them a Consequences Creed AJ Styles TNA class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking to him.
Yeah. Oh, that was you?
Yeah, TNA special, baby.
Yeah. that was last week when he was playing when they had the match, he had the match against Kofi, and he played AJ's theme song from TNA. that's what that was. He was like, that was his theme song from TNA. I was like, you crafty mofo. I see you. Here's a couple more things. WWE and Gabe Sapolsky, the guy who just ran involved, they're no longer named defendants in the sexual assault civil suit against Matt Riddle. So the WWE and Gabe got their names thrown out, but the judge told Matt, you still are sticking this, bro. He tried to get thrown out too, and judge
tried to get a bargain deal. Like, oh, you throwing theirs out, might as well get me lumped in there too. Hold up.
No, sir. No. You still want to go to court for your trials, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So the final thing I'm going to talk about, NBC Universal, they're editing WWE content for Peacock, which I'm not
taking all the like Attitude Era stuff, like cutting it up where no bra panties and stuff.
ECW definitely gonna be very watered down.
Oh, no, it's not worth having it if I gotta. Oh, see?
Right. So let me give you an example. So they had first made the announcement that they removed. So you probably weren't watching this around at the time. 2005 Survivor Series. And Vince was doing a backstage promo with John Cena.
And
so,
he said, my nigga?
Yeah, when he was like, no, it was the whole thing about that promo is Vince talking about Vince giving him damn it, goes up, yeah, what's good in the hood? And I'm like, he said, what's good in the hood? And I was like, and then he came, he was like, keep it up, my nigga. And right in front of Booker T and Charmel, and I'm like, and as a Booker T said that, and they are kind of tell me he did not just say that. So I was like, well, I said, let me go see if I can. So the WWE network still works until Sunday. And so that's when it sets dawn in the United States. So I went and watched that, pulled up that pay-per-view. And so I'm looking and I'm like, you know how you put your finger on the tracker, and you can move it, right, and you can move it forward. So you move it forward, and you can see the stills of the backstage promo as you move it along. At the bottom, you can see it show you what you're looking at, and you can see the still. But when you land on it, it's showing the Morrison and Mercury, the Eminem. John Morrison and Joey Mercury.
Right?
Yeah. And so they it was showing their entrance. And every time we try to go to that part on the on like where you see the promo at. They cut the whole promo out. The part with Vince was talking to Bischoff and everything too. They cut all that got cut out. And just after the Booker T and Chris Benoit match, it goes right to the Eminem entrance.
That means that epic promo that Bubba Ray cut on Heat Wave 97 won't be in there.
They said they're cutting out and making sure it meets their standards and practices. So
he's like, he used language that I can't even repeat on this program, but he's like, we got a in the front row right here in this Hawaiian shirt. He was like, right here, we got a daughter who probably learned how to suck from a mother sitting right here beside her. Like, whoa!
And the whole they took out the Roddy Piper promo when he was wrestling Bad News Brown.
He was black,
and he was painted half black. He was talking in the African American vernacular English. So
in AKA Jive.
Yes. So me being political correct, sir. So that's gone too. So I'm sure they might be taking out the whole DX as the Nation promo.
Oh, for sure.
That's definitely coming out.
Definitely coming out.
If the WCW cards are getting cut out, you might not hear the, Booker T call Hulk Hogan a nigga.
Yeah, this is the shit that needs to be a part of Top Shot.
Right.
These moments right here, they about to just delete out of the existence. Need to have this on a damn digital card.
You want real money, you put them up on there
NFT? That's probably not a bad idea.
Get your NFT funds on with that.
Right. Oh man, yeah. See, that's not gonna be cool, man. Because that's the whole part of the Attitude Era and ECW is just how outlandish it was as far as the language and the violence and the innuendos and everything like that. So yeah.
They was already editing stuff out. The WWE was already editing stuff out.
It was mostly just copyrighted music, but it wasn't actual content though.
It was a lot of stuff that they wasn't showing on there.
I didn't go back and watch a lot of my old wrestling on WWE Network. I usually go to YouTube or Daily Motion.
Right. If you want to see the original, the stuff in its original form.
Right.
With the theme music and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you want to see, and if you want to see the Trish Stratus, what's the girl's name? James? Ricky James match that the part they cut out from that WrestleMania match that they don't show.
Oh, yeah, when Mickey James went full erotica.
What is she? She did something to her, and everybody was like, "Yo,
yeah." It's like, oh, that's how Mickey James gets down. Okay, didn't know that. Good to know. Hey, Mickey James, there's a lot of 20 to 18-year-old boys who wish they were in your same position at that exact same time. Man, yeah. Trish Stratus was the GOAT, though. I mean, Trish Stratus was fine, and she could go in an era where those two things usually didn't match up.
Like, they was the foremothers of the movement.
Oh, for sure.
Her, Mickey James, Lita,
Beth Phoenix. Victoria.
Beth Phoenix.
Molly Holly, because Molly Holly definitely deserves her flowers, because Molly Holly did a lot, so glad that she's getting in.
The fact that she's finally being inducted to the Hall of Fame is nuts.
Right. Yeah, so that era of, they were very talented. They didn't get the same recognition that the ladies are getting now, but somebody had to set the path for those ladies to aspire to be, so, you know what I'm saying?
The women came. That's like now they came up. They were the four mothers of it. But then, I guess we could put Do I want to say the Bellas?
Because from 2006, 2007 up until 2014, they were the women's division. Them and AJ Lee. A little Beth Phoenix mixed in there. Some Melina. Who else was in there that was decent? That was good. What's the girl who came back at the Royal Rumble that Billy Kay was working with? I wasn't watching it back then, so I don't really know a lot about her. I can't even think of her name.
Jillian Hall.
Jillian Hall. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's like they had the women doing crazy stuff, but then it's like the one that was really wrestling, they really got on and they really set it off.
Right.
Yeah. So you watch the Peacock, you're gonna be thinking you're gonna see certain things on the I ain't gonna say it. Damn it, Sean. I was about to say it. If you're looking for certain things, you saw on the network, it's not gonna be on Peacock.
Well, that gets a big Price is Right loser's horn. Womp, womp, womp. Right. Something else that gets the big Price is Right loser's horn is this episode of Rawcast, and it started right off the beginning of the episode. Bobby Lashley opens the show with the promo where he promises anybody who can take out Drew before Mania will earn them a title shot. Then MVP and Bobby turn their attention to Cedric and Shelton. They point out their failures over the past few weeks. Shelton and Cedric take offense, which leads to an altercation. Bobby Lashley eventually gets the best of Cedric and Shelton, and MVP declares that they are no longer in business with the Hurt Business.
Okay.
And you could have turned the TV off right then, because nothing from this show got any better.
And when I saw that, I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, MVP built, turned their careers around.
As Jay to the Max tweeted, Vince realized that the colors were getting too popular.
Right. He's like, God damn it. He's a champion. He already had one of them as a champion. What the hell? Why the hell they gotta be so popular? And
you knew stuff.
But I was like, you let them get too much of a good thing. I said they gonna tear this apart. And
you knew when Cedric and Shelton lost them tag team titles.
All I knew was coming. Stuff
was afoot. Because Bobby had just won the world title. They had a whole week where they was out here on top of the business. Draped
in. And that would be 7 days enough. Take the tag team titles off of them. Put them on a new day. We'll give it back to the other color tag team.
Right. Yeah, this is bad, man. This was not the way they needed to start the show to keep anybody's interest, especially in our hashtag.
Right. And I was like, you know what? I was like, you don't fuck this show. I was like, fuck this.
It's like, man, WWE, they want to, but they still afraid to lean all the way in on the black folks.
It's just like you had, Andrade, you talk about somebody to be the next Rey Mysterio. You have Andrade, that you have Angel Garza, you have Humberto Carrillo, you have three.
But they got Rey Mysterio. So what the fuck?
Rey Mysterio ain't Rey Mysterio no more.
But guess what? They still trot him out there and make you think he's the Rey Mysterio that anymore. So they like, man, forget all that. Why we need the next one when we still got the original?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, this was definitely a low light to, just a subpar episode of Raw and subpar build to WrestleMania.
Hell yeah.
Basically from July of last year until March of this year, you know, we had the Hurt Business.
It just think about how all the time you kept saying, you was like, man, you was like, Cedric Alexander need to soak up that game, or Ricky need to soak up that game, that MVP's dropping, spitting on him. And, you know, you was preaching it for the whole fall. You were.
Yes. Then he got it. And the run was just so short. Everything about this was so short-lived. It's like, man, let it breathe a little bit, man. This faction, how about y'all just build up some factions and have the Hurt Business going up against these factions instead of breaking up the Hurt Business? And then we'll talk about what happened later in the show. And then
Anyway. So let me ask you this. You have a part in promo?
Yeah, I do. I think it might be the one you're talking about, Cedric and Shelton in the back.
Okay. I was gonna say, cause if it was, I was gonna put an executive decision and say that's someone you should need to have. Cause
oh yeah, I got it. I already know the song I'm gonna use in everything.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. All right, cool. I was like, as long as you decide and you knew that I was coming for you. I mean, I was coming for it.
Oh yeah.
All right, cool.
Usually that's where the part and promos are coming from, because I mean, Raw not giving us any good promos right now.
They not
at all. We see Riddle in the back riding around on his scooter, and he gets attacked by Sheamus before their match. So now they have their match, and Sheamus defeated Matt Riddle. Sheamus counters a kick from Riddle, then in return hits a brogue kick, and he pins the United States champion in a non-title match, of course. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we knew it was going to happen because we knew what was leading up to.
Mm-hmm. They got to keep the baby face strong after such a clean win. So Matt Riddle he shoves Sheamus out of the ring and promises that Sheamus is going to get what's coming to him.
Okay.
Sheamus has actually been putting in some really good work in the last month or so, man.
He has.
Those matches with Drew McIntyre on Raw and then the one at Fastlane, very good. This match with Riddle right here, this non-title match, was very good. Last week in the back where he hit him in the gut with the scooter was hilarious.
Was it something I said, bro?
Go ahead.
I said, Sheamus is putting this to work.
Yeah. In the back, Shane McMahon is with Elias and Riker. He says he can't reveal anything from his upcoming expose beforehand, but it will be enlightening. So apparently Shane's going to come out and expose Braun Strowman. What we do get is Shane making fun of Braun and showing us his fifth grade report card. Basically a bunch of D's and D minuses and D pluses. And, you know, your old school fifth grade report card where, you know, your teachers make comments, you know, beside every subject or whatever.
So
this was what this segment was. Mama called me on the telephone and was like, what do you think about Braun and Shane? I said, I think it's stupid. And she's like, yep. Me too. I was like, this is just ridiculous. So we're going to have two grown-ass men fighting over somebody calling the other one stupid? Really? Insulting the intelligence?
Okay. It was still cage match, right?
Yeah. That's what happened. So
you know what that means.
Oh, yeah. Shane going to jump off something high.
Yeah, crazy Shane spot coming.
Yeah. So Braun defeated Jackson Riker. Braun hit the running power slam to get the win. They did the locomotive sound effects again. When he got ready to do the Strowman Express thing. So apparently,
I think I can.
apparently, that's a part of the Rays sound system. They use that whenever they hit home runs.
But what did that be for the Rays?
They about to get a new home here starting Thursday. Yeah, they're going to what, Tampa, right?
Yeah, I think it's in South Florida at one of them universities or whatnot.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I think their end date, I want to say, I forgot what they said that end date was, but they have an end date, already announced the end date for that one. So I want to say it's like if it's something like toward the summer or something like that, I don't know. I saw it, and I ain't really paying attention to it, but.
Right. Yeah. NXT got the best of the deal because they already had the Performance Center built in. They just revamped it to be an arena. They already had Full Sail as their kind of like, you know, arena as well. So they definitely hit a bigger home run than the main roster. I mean, the main roster did a good job, though, with coming up with the Thunderdome concept. In such
the piped in chants.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know, they got to try to give it some atmosphere. That's why I like the way NXT had it, where they still had the screens, but they still had the wrestlers too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess Raw did that for a second, but then
they had like the NXT talent then. Cause we see my girl Kate and Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what's the other girl who was on Raw Underground? The Brianna, what's her name?
I think I know you're talking about. I think she was in the crowd too a couple times. Yeah, she had
the braids.
Yeah,
but I haven't seen her on nothing since. She was like gonna become like the unofficial like co-host of.
She was just Raw all the COVID messed it all up.
Yeah, right when it was starting to people were starting to get with it too.
Mm-hmm.
Took about 3 weeks and people were kind of like, oh, you know what I want to see some Raw Underground, and then they're like, oh no, because of COVID. Because of COVID we can no longer do this,
right?
That was the day that the Iconics, you could see what was going to happen when Peyton threw Billy Kay to the wolves,
and then you see what happened with that.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you notice how Billie Kay got over with her resume and she wasn't the main focus, and now she ain't been on TV for a month? It's funny how that happened.
Oh, my girl will be back. Don't worry. Don't worry.
You can't keep good, talented people down, can you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, and another thing. I guess we can get to this once it comes up. Shane and Elias, they jump Braun until Braun regains the advantage. Braun then tells Shane that their match at WrestleMania will be a steel cage match.
Oh, that's when he announced it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after the match.
Oh, okay. Wow. And Shane probably was looking like,
mm-hmm, you know it. It's time for the Dirt Sheet, where the Miz and Morrison debut their new video, Hey Hey.
Ha-ha. I ain't seen this shit.
He didn't miss nothing, man. It's Miz and Morrison. Well,
I saw what Bad Bunny did, though. Boy.
Yeah, so, you know. So Bad Bunny and Priest come out to say that they like the video, but it won't be fun and games at Mania. Damian Priest translates to The Miz that Bad Bunny is going to make The Miz his bitch. Miz and Morrison come down, but Damian Priest intercepts just long enough to let them think about it, then steps aside. Miz walks up to Bad Bunny, and Bad Bunny knocks the Miz down with a right hand. Bunny and Priest then go into the ring, and they tear up the set of the Dirt Sheet.
Yeah. I don't know why I keep thinking Miz TV, but I forgot it's the Dirt Sheet.
That was that old school
backstage segment back when .com used to do a lot of stuff, you just show like a lot of skits and everything, you know. So that was that thing back in like the ECW days, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
When it was like originally had teamed up.
Man, it's this has been a very challenging episode, sir. And
It was.
And, you know, not even Damian Priest and Bad Bunny could even, you know, save a segment from being just total ugh. But, you know, again, we'll revisit this subject. What the hell happened to Johnny Morrison, man? What happened to Johnny Mundo? What happened to Johnny Johnny Impact?
As you say,
is he in there still?
No, as you said. Well, his fiance or whatever, she signed the NXT, so she'll be there shortly. But as you said, those paychecks will. Is enough to keep you something you said that I think can't be or something like that.
Oh yeah, swallow. Yeah, it'll keep you swallowing.
Yeah, swallow your pride.
Yeah, man. Because goddamn, DeMorrison could be in at least the United States title picture. He could be in the main title picture for real. Because I mean, everybody knows he can go. But
I'm out. Rewind real quick. Did you skip over? Did this already happen? The backstage promo that Cedric and Sheldon had with Adam Pearce?
No, it hadn't got there yet.
Okay, all right. It was something
Okay. Actually, you know what? I did miss it. But yeah, when Shelton Benjamin came up, yeah, right after, it was in the very beginning, after they had that the dust up. Yeah, they have so they run up on Adam Pearce, and they're like, yo. It's like, man, look, Shelton wants a match with Bobby Lashley tonight. And if Lashley happens to get past that, Cedric's like, I want to get him next week. And then, you know, Adam Pearce is looking with that look on his face. And then Cedric's like, look here, man, do you make the matches or not? He was like, he's like, I see you on SmackDown. He was like, it's like, you know, it's like you mesmerized by Roman. It's like, what is that?
I was like, yo, when he said that, I was like, yo, Cedric talking cash. Well, Cedric was talking cash shit on that one.
You know what he looked like, Adam Pearce? Last week on SmackDown and this week on Raw for this little interaction. Who the hell gave Sonya Deville time off? Where is she at? I need help out this
mother. Yo, he came in like, he was like, he said to Roman, he mentioned Roman. I was like, oh shit. I said Roman got robbed. Even though I know he not
though,
but then Roman got
responded. Oh yeah, he might throw a line out there on that opening promo this week.
That was hilarious. That was one bright moment of the thing with that backstage segment with them with those three. Yeah, he probably gonna see Sonya like, where you been at? Everybody go out of control and you ain't nowhere to be found. The
bathing suit
pictures on Instagram.
Randy Orton cuts a promo about facing the Fiend at WrestleMania. You know, typical Randy Orton, you know, one camera promo. Bobby Lashley, he defeated Shelton Benjamin. Lashley comes charging out of the corner and hits Shelton with a spine buster. Then he hits him with another spine buster. He locks in the Hurt Lock. Shelton tries to fight free, but he fades to his knees and passes out.
I ain't see this shit. I didn't see this black on black crime happening. Vince loves to see the brothers fight.
It was definitely there ain't no reconciliation.
Right.
For the Hurt Business. That's basically what this was. So my mom, because I was like, when my mama called, I was like, I don't like what they doing with the Hurt Business. She was like, I don't like it either. She was like, but maybe they can patch it up and work it out. I was like, I don't know.
Nah, he was kind of serious about this whole talking about he can't deal with incompetence or whatever he said about them.
Right. In the back, the New Day walk up to, it's the other way around. AJ and Omos walk up to the New Day. They've got a bowl full of names for their game night, hopefully to help AJ and Omos build chemistry. Woods and Kingston make chicken noises. AJ says the New Day is going to lose a lot. Kingston wants the games to begin, and then they walk off. So in the ring, New Day, they sweep AJ and Amos in their game night. They play charades. They also played...
they really had a game night.
What's that? Where you draw and you have to figure
out... No. I think they really had a game night segment.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. They sure did. And, you know, so... they do the... where you draw... What's it called? Hey, and you have
charades.
Charades is with the actions, like, you know, miming things. That charade. Pictionary. Not Pictionary. Where you draw something. It used to be a game show back in the day where you draw and people have to guess what you draw.
Win, lose, or draw.
Yeah. So I forgot what the New Day had for their charades, but it was something pretty easy. Then they gave AJ the Lion King. So AJ's like, you know, with the crown. He never does the like holding baby Simba out, but he does like, you know, everything else, the crown and everything like that. Almost is just silent. He doesn't get it. So then the New Day, when they's trying to play win, lose, or draw, theirs was a rocket ship. So, you know, of course he draws a rocket and then Kofi gets a rocket ship. So then it's AJ and Almost's turn. So AJ sees what it is. He's like, oh, this is so easy. So AJ draws a picture and Almost is just like, nothing. Didn't say a thing. And AJ's like, come on, man. I know you got this. It's so easy. It was the sun. It's like, come on. It's so easy. Then Almost is like, hey, look, this ain't about no games. We don't need to win these games to become the tag team champions. It's all about the match. And the match is happening at WrestleMania. And then you will see how I play. I was paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. And then that led into...
Yeah, I saw Bruce Leroy did the Kofi. It's like...
Yeah, then this led into Xavier Woods defeating AJ Styles. AJ goes for the Styles Clash, but Woods fights free and hits a tornado DDT for a near fall. Xavier goes up top and Almost pulls AJ out of the way. Xavier tries to punt Almost. Almost catches the kick and tosses Woods over the top rope for the disqualification. Then Almost military presses Kofi Kingston and tosses him into the sea of monitors. AJ then starts beating down Xavier Woods. Almost charges him into the corner, hits him with the elbow smash. Then Almost hits him with the sky high choke bomb. He puts a foot on Xavier Woods and AJ counts to the three. And AJ and Almost pose in the middle of the ring. So he got physical. If I was Xavier Woods, I would have been a little bit risky taking that sky high choke bomb, but it came off with no problem. So lucky for him, nobody got hurt in the making.
He hit him with the throw up the alley oops dunk. I'm like, he alley ooped him.
basically. Alexa is on her playground. She says Randy thought he was gone, but the Fiend was weakened and trapped in her Fiend in a Box. But you can't trap evil forever. All he needed was time, and now he's salivating at the thought of facing Randy at WrestleMania. Alexa says Randy's biggest mistake used to be playing with fire he didn't understand. Now it's thinking he knows what's next when he doesn't. She'll give all the Fireflies a little hint. At Mania, the Legend Killer dies. The camera pans over to the Fiend sitting on the swing next to her, and of course he says, let him in.
I ain't see that shit.
It's what they've been doing for the past 2 months, man.
Exactly.
You know, smoke and mirrors. In a bit of foreshadowing for what was to come later, of course, you know, Drew's got this bounty on his head. So all night he's on pins and needles waiting for somebody to come around the corner and attack him and try to, you know, earn this title shot. So he's had enough. So he storms into the locker room. Of course, he storms into the babyface locker room looking for the person who's brave enough to take him out. He steps to Braun Strowman, who says after he deals with Shane McMahon at Mania, and if he's the champion, then it's on. Then he steps to Humberto Carrillo, tosses him down. He comes up to Matt Riddle, but Matt Riddle says Sheamus is like a full meal and he doesn't have room for dessert. Then he intimidates Drew Gulak and headbutts him. Ricochet stands up. He says Drew's known him for a long time and knows he wants the chance. Ricochet says Lashley's words means nothing to him, but if Drew wants a fight, he'll give him a fight. Yeah, Drew just going around bullying the damn locker room. The good sis Naomi defeated Shayna Baszler.
Of course, you had the opportunity to take on Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler last week. It fell a little short, but I know you're back on the comeback trail.
Of course, and we always are. And they're bullies, like we always said. And you know what? I'm here for Naomi right now. The more competition, the better. Oh.
We see Nia has her boy toy out here. So hopefully stays out of it.
Yeah. How do you feel about that quote-unquote boy toy, Dana, that got involved in your match last week?
Anything he can do, I can do better. I was a gymnast for
Oh!
That was great. That was so good.
Shayna Baszler going after
the I know this strategy. I know this. Yeah.
Dana, that put you out and Mandy Rose out for a number of weeks.
Yes.
Not gonna happen anymore.
Took us out of Survivor Series, and we'll never forget.
How motivating is it for you to know that you guys have suffered injuries at the hands of Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, but you keep on coming back. You keep on wanting more.
Exactly. It's extremely motivating. With WrestleMania season, I mean, we want our opportunity at WrestleMania to face Nia and Shayna for those tag team titles. And we deserve. We've been working our butts off.
Well, and obviously the same can be said for Naomi and Lana, who also want that tag team title opportunity. Like, it feels like the tag team picture is getting a little crowded.
We love our competition. Oh. It only makes us better in the ring.
Let's not forget, the women's tag team titles can be defended on any brand. WWE on SmackDown, Natalya and Tamina have been making some noise.
So many tag teams right now, and honestly.
Hold on, cover by Naomi. Oh, and Baszler having her shoulders off the mat.
Come on, Naomi.
Cover by Naomi. Oh, careful to clutch time, maybe.
No.
Going for a cover instead, and now going for a submission. Shayna Baszler. Trying to keep up with Naomi.
One way to figure yourself out of a situation like this. Look at Naomi.
Oh, come on. He's not serious.
I told you, the boy toy.
And Reginald. Oh, and Lana. Lana took a swipe at Reginald. He avoided it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Clear away from the table. Not the table again.
That happened.
Nia Jax into Mandy Rose. Things have broken down here at ringside.
Holy moly.
And now Dana Brooke trying to get a hold of Lana. What's going on here? I'll tell you what it is. It's chaos in the tag team division. Now a cover by Naomi. Naomi's pinned one half of the women's tag champs. That is huge.
Your winner, Naomi.
In the midst of all this chaos, as you pointed out, Tom, this is a huge momentum builder for Lana and Naomi. I mean, it's like a tornado at ringside.
Oh, man, I'm just here eating popcorn and enjoying the show.
Can you share some?
No, not with you.
And listen, Byron, Naomi and Lana, Mandy Rose and Dana, they want the champs. They want them at WrestleMania.
It could be glow time with the women's tag team titles.
These two have really good matches, even though they don't get enough time to, if they actually had like a 15 minute match on one of these shows one day, boy, they could really get down. You know, it should be that Naomi and Lana have quote unquote earned a tag team title match based on, you know, pinning one of the tag team champions. But that logic don't exist in WWE all the time, because in theory it should be Naomi facing Asuka at WrestleMania.
Because
Naomi pinned Asuka like a month ago.
She sure did.
But they don't hear me though, WWE. They don't hear me though.
There ain't none of us.
Speaking of Asuka, Rhea and Asuka have their contract signing after both women signed. Asuka says Rhea isn't ready for Asuka. Rhea retorts and basically is like, you know, yeah, I was bold. I came up here, called my shot, first night on Raw. You know what I'm saying? I want your title. I'm going to take your title. Sign the contract. Asuka signs the contract. Then Asuka starts going into like her diatribe about Rhea, you know, not earning her position, even though she just has the talent. And then when Rhea turns this table over, she turns it right over in the face of Asuka, hit her dead in the face with the announce tape, with the contract signing tape.
The tables did turn on Asuka, so hey.
Yeah, it did. It didn't. It was like,
Did you skip? Asuka backstage with Matt Riddle.
Yeah, I was not entertaining that foolishness.
Why not? Asuka's reaction was pure classy.
When Matt Riddle starts going on that, you know, I'm too high type shit, that does not make it into my
Come on, man. That was like I say, if it wasn't intentional, it was still funny to me. That made me laugh because he was just like, oh, I forgot what I was going to say. And then he just scooted off. And I also said they're like, what the fuck? It kind of reminds me back in during the Attitude Era when I think it was Chet, one of the headbangers.
Chaz and Moss.
Chaz. He they had broken up and he was doing the Diva Cleavage gimmick on Raw, and then they was doing the backstage promo, and then in the middle of the promo he said, I can't do this, and walked away. And then he had the programming people saying, we're alive, you can't walk away. It was just funny. He just said, oh, I forgot what I was going to say, and just rolled off. And I was just standing there looking like
doing the classic Sid Vicious Jim Ross, where he goes to restart and he's like, oh no, you can't, we live, pal.
it's because it was just funny because Asuka's reaction, and Asuka, and people just making was just like, was just using that as like the reaction gift and everything. So I definitely would use that when somebody say something crazy, that would just be like.
Here comes Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax with Reginald again. Nia doesn't know if Rhea's audacity is worse or Asuka for accepting the challenge. Rhea is new. Asuka's the one who should be ashamed. Baszler says she and Asuka have dominated the women's division for nearly a full year, and they want their match at Mania. Baszler reminds us that she kicked out Asuka's teeth and can't wait to give Rhea a dose of that reality. Rhea asks what's stopping her. Nia then offers a tag match between Nia and Shayna versus Rhea and Asuka next week.
And they're recycling storylines that had already occurred on SmackDown. So that's
that. But they don't know what to do. Well, it's like they're kind of using Nia and Shayna as the women's tag team champions and the get over people in the women's divisions on both sides here. They're just interjecting themselves into all the stories and all parts of the women's division. So, yeah, I think we're going to get like a three-way at Mania for these tag team titles, these women's titles. It's going to be the Sexy Muscle Friends against Shayna, Nia, and then Ravishing Glow, Lana and Naomi.
We shall see.
Yeah. Yeah, two out of three of those teams could win, and I would not be mad at all.
Mm-hmm.
Ricochet runs into MVP. MVP is glad to see him start thinking like a businessman. Ricochet says he thinks Lashley and MVP are both full of it, and tonight is about him making the most of his chance. He says he'll see MVP later on. So first up, Drew McIntyre defeated Ricochet. Ricochet goes up top for the 630, but he misses and he runs right into a claymore, and that ends the night for Ricochet. Then Mustafa Ali jumps Drew from behind after the match. Drew fights back, tosses Ali out of the ring, and then says he'll give Ali a match right now. So Drew McIntyre defeated Mustafa Ali. Ali tries to jump off the ropes, but runs into the Glasgow Kiss headbutt. Drew calls for the claymore. He hits it, and Drew gets the win. Drew then gets on the mic and calls Lashley, tells him to come out. He says everyone tried, and everyone lost. Here comes Lashley. MVP's on the commentary. He wants them to save this for Mania. Lashley stands at the top of the ramp, and both men stare each other down. Lashley says he never needed help to begin with. He says he almost ended Drew's career at Elimination Chamber, and probably should have. But what he did at the Chamber would pale in comparison to what he'll do at WrestleMania, and says the almighty era is here. Drew acknowledges the beating that he took from Bobby Lashley at the Elimination Chamber and puts Lashley over as someone who would be the man if it weren't for Drew, and says Lashley is afraid of Drew. That annoys Lashley enough for him to come down and start a fight. Both men go at it with a whole bunch of Kevin Dunn, artistry, aka camera cuts. Drew headbutts Lashley out of the ring, and then here comes King Corbin from behind. Corbin jumps Drew, hits a couple of back suplexes, but Drew then throws him out of the ring on one of the corners. But then Corbin counters a claymore with the deep six. Lashley then locks in the hurt lock. Corbin talks trash. Lashley tosses Drew down again and poses with the belt to end the show. So you gonna tell me that Bobby Lashley and MVP think that Baron Corbin is more capable and competent than Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin? Boy, I tell you.
Plus, the play on the fact that they were a trio probably a year or two ago.
Again, boy, I tell you, this show was awful. Too much gaga, not enough seriousness. I watch wrestling to see people get beat up and hear people talk trash. There's not enough beating up and damn sure not enough people talking trash. Too much ha-ha, too many skits, too much entertainment, not enough sports. Ugh, what are they doing?
It was more entertainment than wrestling.
Yeah, they are killing my drive to want to watch WrestleMania. I'm super excited for NXT TakeOver. I'm at about a 3 for WrestleMania right now. And we got one more week.
And I told you those shows should be...
And they're going to be taped.
Yep. I won't be surprised if you see there won't be no sports coming out because... No fans are backstage. No fans at the arena. So, well.
Wrestlers talk to the dirt sheets, man.
They said the crowd, so.
Yeah. So. But yeah, man, this was a subpar episode of Monday Night Raw, straight off the break with the dissolving of the Hurt Business and just continue straight on through the Shane McMahon expose. I mean, even the New Day. I mean, you know, I know they got to do a lot of smoke and mirrors because, you know, you can't really have matches with this guy before, you know, WrestleMania because that is the draw. But a game night after we had already had the Shane McMahon skit, we had the premiere of the Hey Hey Hop Hop. It's like, okay, I had enough of this gaga haha shit. Let's get serious. The only serious thing they had on the show up to that point was the Hurt Business breaking up, and nobody was feeling it.
Nope.
I'm just exasperated with Monday Night Raw. It is definitely the least entertaining show of the 4 to 5 shows a week that I watch on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It is bringing up the rear. And, it's just not good. And there's no way, even with your greatest hopes and your greatest wants and all the talented people that they do have, I mean, there's no way that you can cover up for it week after week after week. I mean, it just isn't good. And it hasn't been good since Roman left. and Paul Heyman. Ever since they made that changeover where Heyman went to SmackDown and left Raw, Raw's been on a downward trajectory, and SmackDown's just slowly been creeping on up, creeping on up, creeping on up. To now, SmackDown and NXT, best two things to watch. Raw, I'd rather watch it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. At least I know in that like concentrated 20 minutes worth of video clips, I won't fall asleep.
That's true.
But yeah, if you didn't see a lot of this episode out there as a fan or listener, then yeah, you didn't miss much at all. And what you would have saw, it would have made you highly upset anyway. Like, they have this now, you know, I wish Jade was here so I could hear her famous line. But they had this little kid, I mean, she's probably like 10, 9.
Not that.
But it was this little kid, and he was a Hogan stan. And so they have him, somebody took his parents, took the video of his phone cutting a promo like Hulk Hogan in front of this, like, you know, life-size Hulk Hogan poster and everything like that. Yeah. Everybody was like, really? I was like, see, racism starts at home, folks.
Oh, that.
Everybody was like, is it bad that, you know what I'm saying, beat the kid in his ass beat?
I thought you were talking about
the Bootsy thing.
Little Bootsy doing it. I told y'all, nigga. I was talking about that.
No. Miss J's famous, her other famous line is, fuck them kids.
Also, you forgot to mention, Riddle ran up on Titus talking about,
Yeah, cooking a roast in the middle of the WrestleMania. I was like, see, Riddle knows Titus got them skills on the grill. Yeah, see, I told you, I do not waste any of my characters on them Riddle shenanigans backstage where he just be acting dumb high.
Also, apparently, another thing, Titus is supposed to be getting a Warrior Award
for his service in the like community.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Titus is a good man. He's a good man to have for the, you know, the corporate, for the promotions, for the, you know, working with the community, the outreach. You know, he's definitely kind of morphed into that ambassador role very nicely. And it keeps you employed. I mean, I don't have no problems with these dudes finding other ways to stay employed in the company without wrestling and still getting them checks. Because Lord knows, the last time we saw Titus, it was in Raw Underground. Might have been one other match, and, you know, he barely got a lick in. So, you know, his competitive days in ring have been over for quite a while.
Yes.
Yeah. So. All right, Mo, to the underscores, is there anything else you'd like to add or, you know, bring up?
Nope.
I'm good. All right. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, for your shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out to you another week, another horrible show we had to cover, but we made it worthwhile. Shout out to Sammy. Shout out to Jay. Shout out to Aaron Walsh. Shout out to Terry Boy. Listen to their shows on CSPN, a part of the WrestleCast Network. Shout out to Sean, Dwayne, Benny, Nice. Shout out to Jupiter Julep. This is our podcast that they're covering Bridgerton. I forgot the name of it, and I'm a part of like episode 6 or something like that. She will kill me if I get it wrong, but this is our podcast. Shout out to everybody who's been hashtags with us. I normally would shout y'all out, but I'm kind of tired. I got something else to do when I get off this call. So just know that, you know, if you hit us and we in the hashtag with us, I fuck with you on the long side. And that's about it. Shout out to just take care of yourselves. Get yourself right. Try to get yourself vaccinated, and don't be thinking that you can just go outside, because this is not over yet.
Thank you, sir. That's from a medical professional. So please heed the advice and do with that what you will. I'd like to give a big shout out to my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, for indulging me in my rant this week on this awful edition of Monday Night Raw. Thank you to Miss Simi and Miss Jade and Wash Starwin as well. Shallon Shogun, M.A., Sam, who all stopped in to help me record episodes last week. Greatly appreciate their time and efforts, so please go check out those episodes on the CSPN.us. Thank you to everybody who used the hashtag Rawcast this past Monday to share their commentary with color on Monday Night Raw. Entertaining as usual, much better than the actual programming. Continue to support the show by becoming a patron over on patreon.com/CSPN Media. You can listen to me and Miss Simi review AEW Dynamite each and every week. You can also hear candid conversations that take place before each and every recording on the WrestleCast Network. So last week, we got in depth on 90s hip hop and In Living Color out of the blue. Didn't know Sean Shallon Shogun MA was such an In Living Color and Wayans expert. But yeah, that was a fun conversation that we had. So please check that out over on the Dark Match. Also, you can also support the show by keeping the show free by supporting our sponsors. Go over to CSPN.us, click on the tab that says Keep Our Podcast Free. Do some shopping. Do some shopping on Amazon. Mother's Day is coming up. Don't wait till the last minute. Get your mama something now and go through CSPN.us to help keep your favorite podcast free each and every week. And on that note, for my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and this has been The Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Cedric, obviously a very challenging night for you tonight, as well as Shelton Benjamin losing Bobby Lashley as a partner, it seems, and also Shelton Benjamin being defeated by Bobby Lashley in competition.
Bobby turned his back on his brothers, the guys that got him where he is today. If it was not for me and Shelton backing him up every single the way,
tonight, the world lost. You know what the world lost? The world lost what could have been the greatest gathering of talent the world has ever seen.
Yes, yes.
But because yes. Our champion, the almighty Bobby Lashley, an MVP, you know, the big brain of the whole operation, they threw that all away. They spit in our face. They spit in the fans of the Hurt Business face. And quite frankly, I'm glad to be done with the sons of a.
Think about this. Because of us, he got the championship. How long can he keep it by himself?